Hello and welcome to the second hour of Bauer Power Hour, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Let's jump right in. Air traffic control is trying to figure out what's going on with the plane that they're monitoring on their screen. Tony, communicating as the air traffic control, tells the plane to switch runways. They're now going to land on runway 31 left. Because he's communicating as air traffic control, he can pretty much get the pilot to do whatever he wants. So he's in full control. Jack thinks that someone has infiltrated the FBI because there's no way someone could have gotten a sniper on the roof that fast. Sniper that killed Schechter in the last hour. Renee doesn't believe that. She's like, oh, you have issues trusting people and blah, blah, blah. So she puts Jack in a timeout and takes his gun away. Air traffic control screens go haywire. Tony is totally in their system and screwing with them. And he contacts another plane, SRI-35, to land on the 4 right runway, which puts them at a direct path with the other flight. GSA 117. Uh-oh. Tony then calls the air traffic controllers and tells them to pull up the surveillance tower, and they do, and they can see that the planes are definitely on a direct course for each other. They're gonna hit. Oh my gosh. And then Tony finally tells GSA 317. I don't know. I wrote down both for some reason. Anyways, he tells that plane to pull up at the last moment, and says, now you know what we can do. And the guy asks, what do you want? And he says, you'll find out soon enough. Then a man named Emerson meets with Tony, so he and Tony are working together on whatever they're working on, and asks, you know, how they found Schechter. Tony explains, oh, they're using an old colleague of mine, Jack Bauer. Don't worry, I'll take care of him. So back to the president. The press secretary is giving a press conference about the president's decision to intervene in Juma's genocide. Then she is alerted to the situation that just happened at JFK, the planes. And they tell her about Tony and all, you know, what he's done, what he's hacked into the infrastructure, and, you know, what he, you know, they don't know what he's up to, but, you know, he does have control of a lot of different areas. President Taylor meets with Mutombo, the Prime Minister of Sinhala, and asks him, you know, when they go in and take out Juma, she wants him to punish Juma according to the law so that the cycle of violence isn't perpetuated. She just, you know, she wants the people to see that justice is done. They don't want, you know, she just doesn't want violence to keep going on. So Mutombo gives her his word, but he looked a little skeptical, so we'll see. Meanwhile, the sniper, whose name is Tanner, he's stuck in the building because FBI has surrounded it. They've surrounded all the doors and everything. So he calls Tony and tells him that he's in the West Staircase. So, you know, he's like, I'm stuck, dude. This sucks. Jack, who is still in his timeout, he's in this car. And the guy who's driving, he gives him sympathy, and he says, you know, it's wrong what they're doing to you. You've done so much for your country. This is retarded. And so Jack kind of uses this weakness, this, you know, this sympathy to escape. He asks if he can go get some air, and the driver's like, okay, well, just stay close. But he doesn't. He gets out and pretty much just walks over to the scene and does his own thing, like, you know, like he does. So the sniper is still stuck in the building. He gets a surprise visit from this FBI agent that Tony sent in to help him, who gives him an FBI jacket and allows him to escape. So he exits the building, but Jack, who's hot on the trail, notices that he's not wearing black shoes like everyone else. They're brown. And so he's like, oh, that's the shooter. Let's follow him. So Jack tells Renee they should go on their own. They shouldn't tell anyone. You know, this is something they have to do on their own. And he finally convinces her. And so she gives Jack the keys, and we get to see some of Jack's crazy driving skills. Yay! Back to Tony. Tony and Emerson, the guy that he met with, they bring this component to Dubaku, who was featured in Redemption. He's the, I guess, second in command to Juma. And he's really mad that the government was responsible for the death of his brother, which I think is stupid because he's responsible for hundreds of thousands of brothers' deaths. So, he's just, whatever. Anyways, so, okay, so then we have, if you recall, the first gentleman, I think that's funny. They go, he was looking into his son's alleged suicide. And they found a lead because his son's girlfriend received $400,000 3 days after his death. So he's following up on that lead. So his driver, who's taking him to see the girlfriend, is a little worried about his mental health, and he calls Ethan. And I'm not really sure what Ethan's title is. He's an advisor of some sort. Maybe he's like Tom Lennox to Allison Taylor, maybe. I'm not sure of his title, but he's definitely close to the president. So he calls Ethan to tell him he's a little worried. You know, he tells him what's going on. We're going to follow up on this lead, and you should tell the president. You should tell his wife so she knows what's going on. Back at the FBI, Janice notifies Larry, the head, that Renee has left the scene about 10 minutes ago, and so he calls her to see what's going on. Jack tells her not to answer the phone, but she does anyway. And she ends up lying to him, and she's really upset about it, and Larry knows that she's lying. So he has Janice triangulate the signal on Renee's walkie that is still on. So, sneaky, sneaky. So, you know, they're in the car. Renee asks Jack how far he would have gone with Schechter. You know, he doesn't answer. He says it doesn't matter anymore. And she pretty much stays on his back and brings up his past, and he gets really annoyed, which is understandable because everyone has been, you know, they want his help, and they keep criticizing him for what he's done in the past. And so he got really ticked about it, and he didn't want to talk about it. So leave him alone. Okay. Back with Henry, the first gentleman, Henry Taylor. He gets to his son's girlfriend's office. He arranges a meeting with her on the roof, which I thought was stupid. On the roof, come on. Anyway, so he questions her about the money that she got, and she says, you know, it was her aunt's. She was having money problems. She advised her to put it in an offshore account so that she could hide it from the IRS, but he's not buying that, and he's sure that she knows something that she's not telling him, and he gets really surly, and it's really weird because he looks like a really frail kind of guy, and he doesn't look like he could do much damage. So it was kind of awkward. Back to Jack. Jack and Renee are following Tanner, the sniper. He finally gets out of his car, and they follow him. He sees one of them, and so they're sneaking through these crates, and then Renee pops out. Tanner draws his gun, but Jack already has his gun on his head. Hee-hee. So he's like, you know, where's Tony? He won't answer. So Jack beats him up, punches him in the face a couple times. He still won't talk, so, you know, he's like, well, screw this, I'm just gonna go. So he sees a security camera, he finds a cloth, he uses it as a silencer, he shoots it. This, of course, alerts Tony to Jack's presence. Uh-oh. So Jack is going in, they're on this boat, they're in this boat, which it seems like that's where terrorists hide a lot, is in boats. So he goes and tries to get into the boat. He's using Tanner as a human shield, which is a good idea because shots are fired, killing Tanner, obviously, and two more of Tony's men are killed by Renee and Jack. They get into the boat. Renee sees this computer. All the files are being deleted. She's trying to figure out how to stop it, but she can't, so that's all gone. She's like, oh, no. Jack, in the meantime, is, you know, finding Tony. He finds him, and they duel, and they fight. Jack pulls his gun on Tony, and he turns to look at him, and this is the first time Jack has seen Tony's face for the first time in how many years. And so he hesitates, and Tony, you know, he runs. He takes that opportunity and runs. And Jack regains his composure and gets Tony, tackles him to the ground, they fight some more. And then Larry Moss, who has traced Renee's walkie, comes to the rescue with a helicopter, and he's got this like heroic dramatic look on his face that's actually kind of hilarious. but yeah, so they've got Tony. Jack's got him pinned up against the wall, and he's just like, "What happened to you?" So, my thoughts. I thought the FBI agent who sort of took pity on Jack and who acknowledged the fact that Jack is being treated unfairly. It's about time, okay? It is about time that someone has said that to him. I don't know how many times I've thought the exact same thing. But seriously, come on. Like, I can't. And it bugs me so much that they're giving him so much crap about, you know, his past and what he's done. But, you know, he's given up so much to do his job. I mean, it is really a controversial subject of, you know, torture. But, I mean, he's given up his family. His wife was murdered. His daughter, you know, won't even talk to him, but that's okay because she's a jerk anyways. You know, everyone he's ever loved is either he's been killed or, you know, he's distanced himself from them. I mean, seriously, it's just, I think he's been punished enough for what he's done, you know. Oh, it just bugs me. And I'm so glad that that guy, you know, said something to him and said, you know, you deserve better than what we're giving you, and it sucks. So good for him. Gosh. I also thought, poor Latham, Michael Latham, he's such a, like, a squirrely looking kind of guy. Just really timid and, like, pudgy and, but he, every time the camera was on him, he looked like he was about to wet himself. He was so scared, and I felt so bad for him. That poor guy. Oh, anyways. I wonder what they're going to do with him so far. I bet they're keeping him around just in case something malfunctions, or he's, you know, he's good at fixing stuff, so I'm sure they're going to keep him around for a while. The president's son's girlfriend, I noticed that she had what looked like an engagement ring on her right hand. I don't know if it was just a nice ring that she was wearing, but it really did. It looked like an engagement ring that she was wearing. So I don't know if she knows anything. And if she does know anything, I don't know if she's involved in any way with his death, with his suicide or whatever, you know, happened. I don't know. I don't know. That'll be interesting to see too. And again, we have to talk about Tony a little bit. It was so heart-wrenching to see the way, you know, to watch Jack, to watch his reactions, and to see how he's been, you know, adapting to Tony's return, and because it's, I mean, his face is just, Tony was the only friend that Jack had for such a long time, and now he's becoming something that, you know, Jack has spent his entire life, you know, fighting against, and it's just, I can understand why it would be so hard, because, I mean, oh, that's so sad. It's really sad. And Tony, I mean, he just looks mean. He just looks mean. And he's like dead inside. I mean, when Jack had him pinned up against the wall, there was nothing there. There was nothing behind his eyes. There was no emotion. There was no nothing. And it was sad. You know, we all remember Tony in the beginning, and you know, such a change from then to now. And again, I mean, Tony is what Jack could have been. And I think that Jack is struggling because he knows that. And he knows, he understands why Tony could have, you know, gone this way. He understands that. But he's also frustrated because he could have done that, but he didn't. He didn't go that way. He stayed loyal despite all the crap that he's had to go through. And so, I mean, I can definitely see the struggle. But it's so sad for me to see Tony like that. Ugh. And it's definitely weird because, you know, every bad guy that there's been, I've hated. You know, no questions asked. But I can't hate Tony because I like Tony a lot, and I've always liked him. And I know most people do, and so it's gonna be quite interesting to see how, you know, we're gonna all try to justify what, you know, what Tony's been doing because we like him. He's Tony Almeida. So, this is good. I kind of wish, part of me wishes though that they had sort of kept Tony's return under wraps, because I feel like last hour when we were introduced to him, I mean, I recognized him under the mask. And I think that would have been such a shocking moment to not have heard anything about. You know, I think that would have just been, like, so crazy. So I kind of wish that they'd kept it under wraps. But, you know, now, you know, it's out, whatever. It's going to be good. I can't wait to see how, you know, what's going to happen between the two of them and how that whole storyline is going to play out. Oh, Tony.
First line. Son of a beep.
Who I'd most like to punch in the face definitely goes to General Dubaku. Just, I sort of alluded to that earlier, but I just think that he just annoys me. And also, this is something that's a little off-putting. He reminds me so much of Miss J from America's Next Top Model, so it's kind of hard for me to take him seriously. First time I saw him in Redemption, I seriously thought it was Miss J. I thought, I really did. And so now it's kind of screwed me up. But anyways, he wins because he's stupid. Ugh, and he just, I can't believe he's mad over his brother's death. I mean, that's understandable. But at the same time, he's responsible for how many other deaths. So he needs to have a timeout. Anyways, did you see that? The plane crash, or lack of, that was so intense because you saw it coming, you know, you didn't know whether or not they were going to crash. You didn't until the very last second. It was intense. I mean, it was good, you know. I really thought he was going to crash them, but then he didn't. So, I wonder what that means. But anyways, that was definitely a moment for me. Best line. I definitely it wasn't necessarily like the best line, like a yeah line. It was just kind of a poignant line. It was at the very end when Jack was with Tony and he was like, "What happened to you?" And I really like that because it was really sad and it was really poignant, you know. It was beautiful. It's a beautiful line. And of course, worst line would go to Tony when he, you know, he's asked, "What do you want?" And he was just like, "Oh, you'll find out soon enough." You know, come on, Tony, come on. Anyways, so next up is the kill count, and we actually had 3 deaths. I think, I'm not sure how many of them were Jack's. I want to say 1. Because Tanner was killed by Tony's guards, so that's 1. I'm sure Jack killed one of the guards, which is 2. And I think either Jack or Renee killed the other one. So that's 3. But I'm not sure how many were Jack's. At least 1. Maybe 2. So the total for the day is 4. And Jack could potentially have 2. If anyone knows... If he shot both of the guards or just 1, should let me know, because that's going to bug me, and I don't know. Maybe I'll find somewhere to watch it. But anyway, so kill count is officially at 4. Yay. More deaths. More bad guy deaths. That's the good thing, is that all the people who have died have been bad. And last, we have the curse count, and Jack has not said any bad words, which is weird. We had 1 B word from the president, which was awesome. I really like her, and I really do, so yay for her. We had a hell from Larry Moss, and we had one of Jack's favorites. We had a damn it from Renee. So Yeah, so, see, one, three. So we have four total curse words and one of Jack's favorite, but not from Jack. Jack's curse count is at zero. Still. But, you know, I'm pretty sure that now they've got Tony in custody, he's going to be swearing a lot because this is a big deal. So hopefully we'll see more, more of that from Jack. Alrighty, that wraps up hour two, 9 to 10 a.m. for 24. So don't forget to tune in tonight for another two-hour awesome special of 24. And we'll see what happens with Tony and a lot of other stuff. So if you have any questions or comments, you can email me at bowerpowerhour@podomatic.com. You can send me a comment or, you know, just anything at Facebook. I have a Facebook. So just search Bower Power Hour and I shall come up for you. And you can check out my show notes at bowerpowerhour24.blogspot.com. And you can also check out the show page at bowerpowerhour.podomatic.com. So I guess I shall see you guys tomorrow. Oh, and if you listened last season to me, there was a number that I had that you could call and leave me a message. That no longer works. That's actually someone's number now. So unless you want to talk to some total stranger about 24, then don't call that number. So that wraps that up. So yeah, I'll see you tomorrow. Don't forget to watch, and happy viewing.